Del, g'day, mate. Great to have you on the one-on-one before the set of six.
Yeah, I'm very pumped to be here. It was only a matter of time before you got me on.
Now, Del, just tell everyone now, obviously they know your work in the media and stuff, but you've had quite a career. What was it? Where did it all start? When did you know that rugby league was the game that you could make a living out of?
Yeah, look, I probably didn't realise until probably I was 18 and Wayne Bennett gave me an opportunity. Through my juniors, I did a lot of athletics, cricket and rugby league. I was probably better at rugby league than any of those. Grew up in Serena Mackay and did athletics with Kathy Freeman. Obviously, she left when she was 14, 15. She was the next level. But then rugby league for me, I saw that as an opportunity to get out and to do what I wanted to do, but also to make money, because I think where I was from, Serena Mackay, they had some greats. Dale Shearer, Martin Bella, Owen Cunningham and these guys. And I just, for me, that's what I wanted to do.
Now, some people may not know that you were adopted at 2 days old. Can you sort of take us back? Have you sort of investigated that now and the history of yourself?
Yeah, look, I have. And look, at the time, I suppose when you're young, you don't really look too much into it. But in my teenage years, like 12, 13, my adopted mother said to me at the time, she goes, "Look, I've got something to tell you." She goes, "You know, we adopted you at 2 days old." You know, and for me, it was a tough one, because you sort of, I just thought that was my mum and dad the whole way. And then I got to meet, my real mum.
Your birth mum.
Yeah, my birth mum. That's the word I'd probably want to use. When I was 15, 16, I met her two or three times. I didn't really have a really good relationship with her, because once I heard what she had gone through sort of to get there, I didn't really sort of feel sorry for her empathy. But the older I got, the more angry I got, because I didn't really ask her all the questions. So I think she had six kids to four different guys. And for me, I was second, or third child. And, you know, it's about breaking that cycle, I suppose. And for me, there was a bit of resentment there. I went to a beautiful home. And, and I think the parents that I had, I think they did a really good job, or the best job that they could do with me. And I had everything I wanted as a kid. Went to school, wasn't really a naughty boy. Didn't drink, didn't do anything really bad when I was young. Just sport was my vehicle. At school, school was fun. I just loved being with the mates and playing sport. But, yeah, it was tough, because I never actually dealt with it, you know. And for me, in my mental health, that's something I always go back to, abandonment. So sometimes the showman and the leeriness can sometimes be, the bravado. It's just, it masks probably the pain underneath sometimes.
Yeah, so when you're sitting quietly and you're being open, honest and vulnerable, that's where you go. That's a place where you actually are still feeling sad.
Of course. I think for me, you want to know why, but then sometimes you don't. I haven't been brave enough to ask the questions. It's funny. I do all the things like, "Are you okay? Go to the country, work with kids who have been through some tough things." But it's funny, I never got to ask my mum, my birth mum, why she gave me up. I've had family members tell me why. And I suppose what hurts me now, I found out 6 months ago that she passed away of a heart attack, and she had cancer. No one sort of told me, because I didn't really reach out to her. And I think she just didn't want to sort of put that on me. That was hard. No one really knows this, but that sort of stuff that I probably dealt with last six months. And it's been tough, because I know my kids can see that hurt in me. And I just wish I would have asked why she gave me up for adoption. That's the hard one. I'm sure she's got a great explanation. And, it's one of those things that I'm never going to know now. And I've never met my real birth dad. So there's a little bit of some hollow things in my life.
That is just so beautiful. Thank you for being so open and honest. That's
what we're all about, mate.
Good on you, Del. That's awesome, mate. And of course, people would look at you and say, "Look at him. He's a dual international. Yep. He's made millions out of the game. He's got a beautiful family now. His life is absolutely sorted." Yep. It just goes to show, doesn't it? Sometimes everyone has always got a story.
Oh, it is. And, it's always work in progress too. I've got some wonderful kids, and I've got a wife who does a very good job with me. She deserves a medal. But I love seeing my kids do well. I think we all love seeing your kids do well, you know. And it's funny when you see the boys and that, and they go, "Mate, your son, he's a gun. He's going to be better than you." Mate, I hope so. You want your kids to be better than you. But what's good about it too is I reckon the kids have got the balance right too. I don't think I had the balance right. It was all sport and all this. It was all or nothing for me. And I'm glad that people and in the community always give you a second chance. And that's why I'm big on second chances.
Beautiful, mate. Well, here we are, the set of six. Question number one. What are you afraid of?
Heights. I'm telling you, I'm scared of heights. And even though I get claustrophobic, the Masked Singer, that was hard for me to do. I know, I like entertaining. Heights, I hate it. I know when I signed with the Waratahs and they wanted me to do the climb on the bridge and that, I just went, no, not a chance.
What, even you can sort of strap yourself on and all that jazz?
No, and you know why? Because when I was a kid, I always had this dream that I was walking across a bridge and the bridge fell away and I fell in the water and died. That's, as a kid, it was a reoccurring dream. So I'm always scared of heights.
Okay, question number two. What would you tell your 10-year-old self?
Just don't be a risk taker. Like, you know, if there's a risk to be taken, I've taken it rather, yeah, just don't take that risk okay. in life, you know. Yeah.
It's a bit like Freddie Fittler. I asked him that question. He said, strap yourself in.
Yeah, no.
You've had a similar ride.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Question number three, what is your sliding door moment?
I suppose for me, I think coming to rugby union, when I came to rugby union from rugby league, I'd done so much in 9 years in rugby league, but I wanted to go and test myself in rugby union. And I just think for me, I got to see the world and meet some great people, whether it was Nelson Mandela, the Queen. It was eye-opening for a kid from Serena who'd come from the background that I had.
Question number four, what is your biggest regret?
I dare say when I went to rugby, it's the suspension. Like, the Waratahs were great to me. Rugby union was great. The fans were great. I just felt that I let them down. I felt that I wanted to be a rock star without having to do the elite sportsman stuff. And so for me, I'll always regret the way that I left rugby. That's something that I'm happy to deal with, and I'll cop every day of the week.
Who's your biggest hero, that, you know, that one person that's inspired you on your journey, and why?
Oh, well, that's a good one. Look, I think my dad, he's passed away now. He passed away 2001 when I swung to come to rugby. I think him, I always think of him and how hard he had to work for me to be here. But if it was a celebrity or a rock star, Viv Richards. And I've got to meet Viv on two or three occasions. I don't think I've met a cooler man. And even my wife met him. I played in his celebrity cricket match, and, you know, we've played in a few of those with Gilly. And Viv was walking past. My wife was there. My daughter was there. And Viv was walking. I said, "Oh, Viv, oh, this is my wife." And he looks at my wife, and he goes, "Hello, Mrs. Sailor. Thank you for letting Wenda play in my golf day tomorrow and the cricket match," like this. And and my wife just goes, "Yeah, no problems." And as Viv walks away, my wife goes, "Just tell him to come back and talk to me again."
Like, yeah.
He was just so smooth. There was nothing sleazy about it. It was just that cool. And not just, it was, he's your hero. And in that dressing room after that game, there was Brian Lara, Carl Hooper, and Viv, and they were all chatting. And I was sitting there like a little school kid. I had my phone out and I was taking little shots, just thinking, this is what dreams are made of.
Question number six, the last tackle. What's the best advice that you've ever received?
Just treat people how you expect to be treated. My dad taught me that at a young age. And I think most of the way I've tried to stick to that. He's a great man, and I think that's a great lesson in life these days.
Wendell, thanks very much for joining us on our own show, The Dead Set Legends, mate. You are a Dead Set Legend.
I'm just one of the boys. Thank you, guys.